AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan.
She's safe. She's on a plane. She's on her way home.
President Biden, who authorized the deal with Russia to get American basketball star Brittney Griner released. CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
After months of stalled negotiations, sources say the swap came together in the last weeks. Initially, the U.S. hoped to arrange a two-for-two swap to see both Brittney Griner and retired Marine Paul Whelan returned home in exchange for two Russians. But the president says the Russians refused. Whelan, who was convicted of espionage charges that the U.S. calls false, marks his fourth year in Russian custody this month.
In exchange for Griner, the U.S. is sending convicted arms dealer Victor Boots back to Russia, a man known as the Merchant of Death. The House has given final legislative approval to a measure that protects same-sex and interracial marriages. And a House committee finds the NFL's Washington Commanders created a toxic work culture for more than two decades, ignoring and downplaying sexual misconduct by men in the organization, including the owner Dan Snyder. Southern California is one of the areas of the country getting hit hard by cases of COVID, the flu, and RSV. KCBS TV reporter Cara Finstrom.
Now folks are wondering if they'll once again be required to put on a mask before heading into an LA County restaurant. Later today, we know county health leaders will be holding a news conference where we should get some context about the recent surge in COVID cases and possibly learn whether or not this county is headed towards another mask mandate.
A sigh of relief for thousands in central North Carolina who have electricity and heat after several days without.
I've never been so happy to see electricity in my life.
The investigators are vowing to make arrests for the two attacks on substations. CBS's Tom Foti reports AAA says gas prices have settled to a level we last saw back in last December.
Its average price for a gallon of regular gas is now $3.33. That is a penny less than it was a year ago as prices at the pump continue to go down slowly.
On the Health Watch today, CBS's Elise Preston tells us.
Genetic predisposition to attention deficit hyperactivity disorder can predict cognitive decline later in life. That's according to researchers at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. Doctors say more study is needed to determine if intervention treatment for ADHD can impact the future risk of developing Alzheimer's.
Hundreds of journalists and others at the New York Times are on a 24-hour walkout today, the first of its kind at the paper in more than 40 years. Their union contract expired in March 2021. And now on Wall Street, the Dow is up 190 points. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3966.
Oil investments involve a high degree of risk and actual results may vary.
Oil keeps going up as the Russia conflict escalates. Get in on the next major oil boom now and help the U.S. with your patriotic investment that can potentially pay you monthly income for up to 20 or more years. That's the sound of a producing oil well and the sound of a smart investment. If you're a serious and qualified SEC-accredited investor, you can take advantage of Encore Energy's projects. The U.S. government needs your investment in oil and is allowing you to write off nearly 100% of your investment in the first year. Goldman Sachs is projecting oil to go up to $100 a barrel. Call 800-278-7455. Encore Energy is a very active oil and gas operator in its core area of operations. Call now and learn how to deduct 100% of your investment and create 20 or more years of potential monthly income. Get this big tax deduction for 2022. Hurry before it's too late. Call 800-278-7455. That's 800-278-7455.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. American Red Cross employees are preparing to strike during the region's largest blood drive if management cannot reach an agreement with the union before their contract expires on December 15th. These employees, who are members of the AFS-CME Locals 1205 and 1558, have been trying to negotiate a collective bargaining agreement since August of 2021. Management has canceled or rescheduled 21 meetings and only attended one during that time. When management did come to a meeting, it was to tell employees that they didn't have any money left for them because they spent it all on raises for workers in other states. If an agreement is not reached by December 15th, the strike will take place between 5 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Friday, December 23rd, outside the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. The Milwaukee Bucks beat the Sacramento Kings last night, 126-113. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 34. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for snow tonight. Lows dip down to about 24. Cloudy skies expected. Snow likely again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 33. Overcast skies. 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight through Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 34.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Only you and me, I'm almost 2,000 miles from my home, sweet home, 2,000 miles from the arms that bore me, 2,000 miles from my sweet home, Milwaukee, yeah, yeah.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. A reminder, if you like our show, tell your friends. We are a growing show on a growing network, and we could use your help spreading the word. And so I am so excited for our next guest. He is the Milwaukee historian, John Gerda, because he has been the go-to source for all things Milwaukee history. He has published 22 books on the city's history, including Milwaukee, A City of Neighborhoods, Cream City Chronicles, The Making of Milwaukee, his latest book, Brewtown Tales. And I also found out this week, I didn't know that you were a regular on Around the Corner with John McGivern, but we also had John McGivern on this week. And so,
Oh, really?
Both Johns, 1 week. And as of last week, after 29 years, you're hanging up the column in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So we thought this would be a good opportunity to get you on the show. Welcome, John Gerda.
Thanks for having me. So you've had John McKibben on. Lois Maurer, who was our producer for Around the Corner, she said, Charles said, two Johns, no waiting.
How much fun was it to do that show with him?
It was a lot of fun. I was front-loaded. You know, I would do all the research beforehand. And early on, we began to have kind of spontaneous conversations, and there was a lot of sort of dead air, you know, you know what. So what happened was I scripted it, you know, so I had to memorize it. And then John, he would have to memorize the cues, you know, kind of the outros. And then he figured out that he had his cell phone. He could put the questions on there and say, oh, and what was the population at that time? so it became a lot easier for both of us, and a lot more seamless. And it was fun. No, we would do maybe two takes, sometimes three, wherever we were for 9 years. So it's 115 shows, something like that. But then for me, a real pleasure of that job was when I was through taping with John and Lois, I would go biking. You know, so it was all around the state, from Ashland down to the southwest corner to, you know, around the Milwaukee area. So I got to see a lot of the state, and I'm as much a Wisconsinite as I am a Milwaukeean. So that was a real pleasure.
Yeah, and that's because I listened to one of your interviews, I think from a couple years ago with WPR, after you had done a Milwaukee Magazine interview. And so your mother's from the Driftless region, right? Near La Crosse. Yep. So you really, as much as you are known for Milwaukee, have gotten to do history all across the state.
No, I'm bi-coastal. You know, my dad's Polish from the south side of Milwaukee, so I'm on Lake Michigan, and my mom was from the Driftless around Coos Valley, Wisconsin, near the Mississippi, so I kind of touch both sides of the state.
Absolutely. So there's so many different ways I want to take this conversation, but so you're hanging up the column for now after 29 years, and this isn't retirement, right?
Oh, no, no, no. I've been getting all kinds of retirement. I got a call this morning from a county supervisor saying we want to do a citation for you retiring. And I had to explain to him that I'm not retiring. No, the Journal Sentinel gig, that was 2 days a month.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you know, as another freelancer, you know, you kind of patch together a living for all these years. So I'll keep writing. You know, we just had a Jones Island documentary that was premiered on Milwaukee PBS. You know, the Brewtown Tales book is out. Working on a series of tours, publishing the tours of Milwaukee, doing a lecture series. We can get it together kind of about Black history in Milwaukee. So that's a, I've got a lot of things I need doing. So I had to tell the supervisor, thank you very much. I much appreciate the thought, but a little premature.
A little premature. Well, and to say what you just said, as far as you've made a career out of being a historian. And when you went and got your master's from University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, because you were an English major for your undergrad, correct?
Right, yep.
And then you went and got your master's in history. And so did you think that you could be a historian and not have to be a professor?
No, not at all. You know, especially with a master's degree, and that's as far as I got. And I didn't want to go any farther. I was working, and I kind of wanted to get back out, kind of in the world and writing. So I was never tempted by academia. But no, it's been 50 years. You know,
yeah.
Back in 72 was when I first kind of went freelance. And to think that I've been able to do this all these years is my mom would be shocked. You know, whenever there'd be somebody retiring from the Journal, which is our paper before they merged back in 95, you know, she would say, I see Gerald Kloss is hanging it up. Maybe you should talk to those people. She could never believe, you know, that this could be a career. And fortunately, I have a patient wife, Sonia, you know, who she tells people, no, she would ask sometimes what my backup plan was. There was no backup plan. No, there was no other net.
So if you always just kind of trusted the process of knowing that there was going to be another book or another TV show or a collab, or just kind of knowing that by being the kind of expert on Milwaukee's history of where we've been and potentially how that can guide, like, inform where we're going, that you just trusted that there was going to be opportunities to continue to write and talk about that?
Basically followed my nose.
Yeah.
And there was no inside to come to. So actually, a lot of what made this career possible, is that I would do commission work for nonprofits and for businesses, you know, so that pays a whole lot better than freelance work, as you know. So I've done histories of Miller Brewing, Northwestern Mutual, twice. So repeat business, 25 years apart. I did two books on Northwestern Mutual. Lattice, Wee Energies, Harnischweger, which is, you know, kind of reincarnated as Komatsu. So I would write these book length, you know, histories of these companies, as well as Forest Home Cemetery, Emmanuel Presbyterian Church, Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church, Frank Lloyd Wright. So I got to hang around to Taliesin. So over the years, I've gotten to visit a whole lot of different worlds, and kind of someone described as building little houses by the roadside. You know, so kind of pass those and say, "Oh yeah, I worked on that one." So those commission jobs, you know, were essential to me being able to kind of fund, you know, the more community oriented sorts of things. And over time, you know, developed enough body of work and enough contacts so I could raise money for things like the Making of Milwaukee or City of Neighborhoods, or most recently the Jones Island documentary. So yeah, it's been. I've always said that. Not, recently said, you know, that if I were to write a memoir, it would be 50 years of 1099s. I have not had a W-2 since 1972.
Wow, that is incredible. We're talking to Milwaukee historian and writer John Gerda about all things of his career, but also Milwaukee. And so, do you feel like there's still more things for you to learn about Milwaukee?
Sure. Or at least ways to package it.
Okay.
The TV is more interesting to me lately than writing. I just did a show called People of the Port for Milwaukee PBS that just premiered last week. And that was a half-hour look at just a fascinating slice of real estate in Milwaukee. Everything from the largest Indian village in Milwaukee to, for 50 years, a Polish fishing village. So there are those stories to tell. And yes, I'm always learning stuff. Just yesterday, I was looking for something else. I do a back page thing for Milwaukee Magazine. I take a historic photograph and do a 300-word essay. And I was looking for something else and came across this half page story about the Menominee Valley from 1898, which I'd never seen before. And they're talking about, people searching through the piles of refuse for tin to scrap, and the jubilant cry of the factory whistle at quitting time, and the tin pail crowd that kind of streams out of the valley. So yeah, there's always stuff. We're always making more history, so the mind is inexhaustible.
Well, John, now that you're stepping away from your column, but you're not retiring, like many other reporters in Milwaukee, whenever something came up about the history, it's like, call Gerda. We need to talk to John Gerda.
I still answer my phone.
You do. So reporters can still continue to bother you as time goes on.
Yeah, people are not reluctant.
And I said this before, John, and I mean this sincerely, that Making a Milwaukee is one of my favorite books in the world. I've given it as a Christmas present many, many, many times, and the series as well is wonderful.
Yeah, we're now in the fourth edition, so it's it's update. Yep.
So as far as if you had to pick, what was the golden era of Milwaukee?
There is no golden era.
There is no golden era.
There is no golden era. Nope. There are no golden days. There are no good old days. I said to my kids when they were growing up, they complain about whether it was adolescence or they're 5 years old. There is something good and something bad about every single age, whether you're 7 months or seven decades. And the same thing's true about a city's history. So you think about, the good old days of the 1890s when life was more carefree and we cared about each other and we walked everywhere. Look at the river, how polluted it was. Yeah. Look at the coal smoke that kind of settled this pall over the entire city. So it's always it's human life is yin yang. It's always this mixture of darkness and light. So there is no golden period I would look back to as kind of this is where Milwaukee got it and we should all go back there. It's not the way life works.
But as far as pivotal moments as far as like the timeline and maybe even just of the last century, what do you think the biggest shifts have been in the city politically or kind of like the milestones that we've hit that we should all kind of keep in mind as we try to continue to improve on the city?
The biggest pivot is 1910, when socialists won the mayor's office and a majority of common council seats, and that ended a period of graft, corruption, and just downright self-dealing. Milwaukee was just as dirty as Chicago on a bad day. Milwaukee really was. I have a talk called "How the Socialists Saved Milwaukee," and really did. Now it's become kind of the S word, except for Bernie, kind of American politics. But they were excellent governors, and what animated them, what motivated them was concern for the public good. Public enterprise, was the kind of the term they constantly used. So, Dan Holland got his picture in the cover of Time magazine back in 1936, Milwaukee's mayor from 16 to 40. And Time called Milwaukee perhaps the best governed city in the U.S. So these guys knew what they were doing. And there were women too, but it was largely guys back then. So 1910 is a pivot. And there are certainly, that heritage, Frank Zeidler stepped down in 1960. So it's quite a while ago now, but for most of 50 years, we had socialist mayors. And I've argued that that's kind of part of Milwaukee's civic subconscious. It's still there. It's threatened. It's fragile, but it's still there. That kind of, that mutuality, mutualism, that kind of concern for the common good, I think is still a part of our DNA. Other pivots, certainly one huge one was that period from 79 to 83 when we lost a quarter of our manufacturing jobs. Mm. And that was, certainly other cities were harder hit, but that had a huge impact, especially on Milwaukee's minority community. In the 50s, actually until about 1970, black workers had a higher proportion of production jobs than white workers. And that meant union jobs in a union town. So you had people joining the middle class, and then just the ladders kind of pulled out from under them with that deindustrialization. So that's a big shift.
Absolutely. All right. Well, when we come back, I actually want to talk about some of the historical women of Milwaukee. Our guest for this half hour is historian John Gerda. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Lights,
camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Talk from Muskego to Pewaukee. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Our guest this half hour is historian John Gerda, who is the go-to source for all things Milwaukee history. And in the previous segment, before the commercial, we were talking about some of the mayors and men who have shaped Milwaukee. But who were some of the women that are notable historical figures that helped Milwaukee be what it is?
Two heroines of mine are part of the Jewish community, and they are Golda Meir and Lizzie Kander. And Golda, obviously, you know, she was Prime Minister of Israel, so she's a big deal. Got lots of things named after her here. But she grew up here. She came here at the age of eight and stayed until she was in her 20s. So her formative years were spent here in Milwaukee. And she was very active in both the Zionist and the socialist circles here in Milwaukee. So she was part of, you know, that sort of that ferment, you know, back in the first decades of the 20th century. So certainly she was a heroine. And then Lizzie Black Kander was someone of German Jewish background. And there was kind of a gulf between the Eastern Europeans who came here back in the 1880s, who were kind of the great unwashed, you know, kind of is how they were sometimes stereotyped. And she was affluent, kind of from the German side, the assimilated side, and she ended up opening something called The Settlement, which was like Jane Addams' Hull House in Chicago, you know, come one, come all, and for everything from Yiddish newspapers to a savings bank to a library branch. And that became the Jewish Community Center. And to raise money for her settlement, she did. She taught cooking classes, and she would put the right ingredients, you know, very easy to follow. And the result was a settlement cookbook, which sold, you know, well over a million copies. And I think it's no longer in print, but that was a really big deal. So Lizzie, you know, Lizzie and Golda are really, you know, very, very prominent figures in Milwaukee's history on of the women in Milwaukee. Maida Berger, who was the wife of Victor Berger, who was a socialist stalwart here. You know, she was very active in her own right. And going way back, Josette Juneau, who was Solomon's wife. You know, she was a Parthian nominee by ancestry, and even though it meant the city was not, the fledgling city was being transformed before her very eyes, she acted as a midwife. She was kind of a hostess, you know, for the early Europeans who came in. So she was a towering figure as well. So there is representation, not as egalitarian as it should be, but you know, there are certainly some notable women in Milwaukee's past.
Yeah, absolutely.
John, you've done a lot of interviews over the years. I've done a lot of interviews over the years. I've had some real clunkers from people who you expect are going to be wonderful. Has there ever been one where you were just like, this did not turn out like I hoped that it would?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Aside from the ones who give one-word answers, you know, kind of, yes, I don't know. You know, that's just so you're thinking a half hour on your 5 minutes and you're done. I did a book about Bayview called Bayview, Wisconsin back in 1979. And what I would do is a lot of interviews with politicians and clergy, you know, people who you would expect to know the community well. And I was doing an interview with the pastor, a post-lunch interview with the pastor of Bayview's biggest Catholic church. And there was kind of a lull in the conversation, and he's nodding, and he's nodding, and he fell asleep.
Oh, that was to really reinforce your confidence as an interviewer, right?
Yeah, boy, did I feel stimulating.
Oh my gosh.
I think I cleared my throat, or you know, kind of dropped my pen or something like that. turn off the tape recorder really loud. He kind of sort of funny. Came to, I won't provide his name, but you know, people
may be able to figure it out.
yeah, right.
So your newest book, Brewtown Tales, More Stories from Milwaukee and Beyond, is out now. But what are some mm-hmm. of the highlights of some of your favorite stories that are included in the new book?
These are largely Journal Sentinel columns, but not only. Included a story I did for Milwaukee Magazine about my years as a barfly on Milwaukee's south side at Big John's Tap, which is one of my favorite pieces in there. But there are 80 essays, largely bite-sized. They run, you know, I don't know, 1,200, 1,500 words through there. Some of the favorite ones, it's interesting. Some of them, my favorite ones are not so much historical. But one is a trip I took on Highway 12, coming from around the corner. We're shooting around the corner in Eau Claire. And I was going to bike, but it was raining, so I took Highway 12 instead of 94 and just sort of fell in love with this sort of slow road home that you can duplicate, you know, any place else in Wisconsin. That's a favorite one. I've done that at readings. Another was the safer inside was the jargon, the motto, when COVID first hit. So saner inside, certainly, but I did safer inside, and I did a column called Saner Outside, which was kind of a description of following the progress of the spring of 2020. Mm-hmm. And that was a chance to really observe nature closely and to kind of get it down in writing. So those are two favorites. But then there's one called A Socialist Citadel, which kind of describes the backstory of Milwaukee socialism. Certainly essays about segregation in Milwaukee, about Black Lives Matter in Milwaukee, so things that are topical as well. So it doesn't lack for variety.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably, as long with some of the other ones, might be Christmas gifts this year. And I appreciated that if you want to not necessarily make Jeff Bezos richer, but want to mm-hmm. keep your purchase in the Wisconsin economy, you can buy it at shop.wisconsinhistory.org/Brewtown Tales, because it was Wisconsin Historical Society Press that published it, right?
Correct.
Absolutely.
And that's a great building to visit, too, the Wisconsin Historical Society.
Oh, yeah. It is. Yeah. Right across from the Union.
Everything that they do, I'm so constantly impressed and happy that we have the Wisconsin Historical Society and John Gerdach, because you are not retiring. So now that we've made your debut on this show, I'm sure there's going to be many, many opportunities where we're like, let's get John on the show. He can explain this to us.
Call Gerdach.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We will link the Jones Island PBS documentary and the new books and your website on our website for today's blog post. But John Gerdach, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
My pleasure, Kristen, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, what would you do if you couldn't take a two-hour flight and you had to take a train? Would you protest? I'm surprised the French aren't protesting, because that's what's happening there. All right. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
In the hands of God. Put all their trust in the hands of God.
The Shop.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Quality Foods puts you first. No self-checkouts here. Get the groceries you want, bagged and loaded in your car if you'd like. That's quality service from real people you can expect. Delivery and pickup are available at West Grand. Visit QualityFoodsWisRapids.com. Or if you can't order online, just call West Grand and they'll take it. Don't forget the deli for delicious meats, cheese, salads, and complete hot and cold meals. Quality Foods, West Grand and Baker Drive, locally owned and putting you and the community first.
Throughout 2022, UW Athletics and BMO is observing the 50th anniversary of Title IX and celebrating the landmark legislation's impact on women in collegiate sports. With events and moments planned throughout the calendar year, Wisconsin Athletics is finding unique ways to tell female stories, celebrate with the community and campus, and highlight past and present accomplishments of teams and individuals. Visit uwbadgers.com/Title IX for more information. Thanks to BMO for their support of the 50th anniversary of the Title IX celebration.
Insulin, penicillin, the heart transplant. All of these medical breakthroughs were thanks to research. Research made possible with the help of volunteers. That's where you come in. The All of Us Research Program is asking for people from across the U.S. to share their unique health information. Because the more data researchers have, the faster they can find the next health breakthrough. But there can be no breakthroughs without research, and there's no research without you. Learn more at joinallofus.org/WBA, sponsored by All of Us Wisconsin.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Richland Center community members are frustrated with the proposed closing of the UW-Richland campus. A number of factors have led to the UW system's decision, including declining enrollment. Supporters advocating to save the campus say some of the factors for declining enrollment are due to the UW system's lack of financial support, drastic reductions in faculty and staff, no marketing or strategic plans, eliminating the international coordinators, and discontinuing continuing education and youth programming. One of the biggest factors is the UW system did not allow a new recruiter for the campus to be hired after the retirement of John Poole. This became a major deficit for the campus. Supporters are trying to save the campus with a petition which will be forwarded to Governor Tony Evers, UW System President Jay Rothman, and area legislators. Visit change.org and search UW Richland to sign the petition. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 34. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for snow tonight, lows dip down to about 24. Cloudy skies expected. Snow likely again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 33. Overcast skies. 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight through Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 34.
Really revamped. Lounge. Yeah, yeah. I was with my my person yesterday, and so we were doing a little bit of a facelift to the website. You can also find us on Apple and Spotify and the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Lots of ways to listen and follow us on social media because, you know, we're still posting stuff that's beyond just the live stream of this show. I'm still doing some TikToks and
you
some
are.
Short videos, though not as many as I'd like to be doing. But, you know, we're still just plugging along every day. And, you know, it was so interesting talking to John, who is not retiring, John Gerda, historian, and not retiring, but hanging up the column, the Journal Sentinel column. And one of the reasons I do love if you go read his kind of farewell that was published last week in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. One of the reasons he subtly lists as to why he's not doing it anymore is how much they didn't pay him. They did pay him, but it was like, you know, as you remember, the freelance,
yeah,
you know, the per word, per article.
Not a big moneymaker.
Not a big moneymaker, but he also lists that the Ideas Lab, David Haynes, editor, is retiring, who is my boss over there. And also announced this week, George Stanley is retiring. Who
big
is
changes.
The editor-in-chief and has been since 2015, but he has worked for the paper for 43 years. And, you know, while Jane is definitely my work mom / work wife, which is a little weird and incestuous, but, you know, whatever. Those two and the time that the little over a year I've spent at Journal Sentinel doing the video columns that I do over there, certainly both of those men have been my work dads. And I'm pretty sad. I get it. I get that they're both are of the age or they have kids that they want to spend more time with and grandkids they want to spend more time with. But they are the institutional knowledge that they have and the amount of time I before I actually started, and it was still kind of like, all right, well, we like what you do, but we don't know how to fit you into the newsroom.
We don't know
newsroom.
What to do
we
with you.
We don't know what to do with you. And I had coffee with George at the Red Arrow Starbucks. And I think we must have just sat there for like 3 hours just talking. And so to both of those men, how many stories they have in their back pocket because they lived it, right? They lived reporting the politics and the businesses and the Tommy Thompsons and all of the ways that Wisconsin has shifted and changed in their career, and they were responsible for reporting on it. And so just getting to sit and talk with them, because especially because I was gone for a while. And so even stuff in more recent history that I now doing the jobs that I do have to go up and research and read about instead of and having them, though, to just kind of explain it.
And put it into context.
And to put it into context is you know, has been wildly valuable for me. And I think very valuable for everyone who works at Journal Sentinel. And so certainly big shoes to fill.
Well, I hope both John and David realize that reporters all over southeastern Wisconsin are going to go call Stanley because we need background on something. And so they're not going to be off the hook. They might not be as willing to pick up the phone as the lovely John Gerda, but I'm sure there are going to be people reaching out to them because, as you said, the institutional knowledge that they have and the context in which they can put things is invaluable.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's a reminder, especially in something like a newsroom, that David will say, you know, for years, decades, nothing changed in the newsroom. Everything, you know, the grind of the paper was the grind of the paper, but as far as the changing evolution of how we do the paper, for decades was the same.
Yes.
And then in the last 12 years, it changes all the time.
It just blew up.
And, you know, the double-edged sword of digital and everything that that means and what that's done to newspapers, for better or for worse, but the need to keep up with the times as far as how social media changes and SEO and all these things of how people, as the readers, get their information and get their news, and how is the paper, you're responsible for not only doing good reporting, which Milwaukee Journal Sentinel does do very good reporting. Like the journalists who are employed there I've learned so much from them. But it's also the distribution of it that takes a whole different skill set and team to be able to do something beyond print a paper and keep up with how things are changing. That is a completely different skill set than reporting the news.
Yeah, there's no question. And I do want to just emphasize, and there's so much hate against the media right now, but having a hometown-based newspaper is critically important for that hometown. You might not think it is, but without someone to keep an eye on our politicians and our boards and all of those things, there's all kinds of hanky-panky that can get up to.
Well, and I think about that, you know, so much of what we do on this show is editorialize the reporting that journalists are doing, right?
And others do.
And it's between Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, WPR, Wisconsin State Journal, and the local journalists that we have that do such a good job that, you know, doing a 3-hour radio show doesn't leave a lot of time for me to go find like stories firsthand. So a lot of it is being able to rely on the reporting that they do and break it down in a different way, offer my opinion on it, provide a firsthand radio interview of some of the people that they, you know, but a lot of times our guests that we invite on, it's because I read about them in, you know, in a different person's report.
Yes.
And so I know that sometimes Gannett, as a, you know, published and as an entity, there's a lot of valid criticism that you can direct towards Gannett and how much money their executives make versus rounds of cuts and the conglomerate of gobbling up newspapers.
Little independent newspapers
and stuff. But as far as at least I can certainly say firsthand that the work that Journal Sentinel is doing and the reporting that they do is a reflection of them, regardless of how you feel about Gannett. And certainly you should subscribe to them. And every time you hit that paywall, I know it's annoying, but there's always deals as far as, you know, $1 a month for 6 months and entry deals to get you in the door, because supporting local media is really, really important.
The investigative reporting that they do is award-winning.
I mean, is
groundbreaking. And I can think of some stories before you even got here about daycare centers that were set up that actually didn't have any enrollees that were getting paid by the state. I mean, they've done numerous long form, the PFAS piece that they just did.
They almost won a Pulitzer in this last year. They were nominated for the landlord fire, like the fire in the rental units. And who won was Washington Post for the January 6th reporting. But continuously, the reporting that comes out of Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is excellent. And that is, a reflection, I would say, on the respect and passion that George Stanley has for journalism. And so we're going to get him on the show. I told him what he announced this week. I pinged him and I said, well, can I interview you? He goes, well, now everyone's pinging me to try to get me on the show. I was like, well, we'll do that for the holidays once you get through. Because I think it's right at the end of the year that he's going to step down. David Haynes is stepping down next week. So my life's going to be very different over there.
Missing your two work dads.
My two work dads. But yeah. So if you do not subscribe to any of the USA Today Wisconsin papers, I highly recommend doing so, because they do a very good job. And you should support local media.
And we need them.
So this caught my eye, switching gears. This caught my eye because I feel like, one, this certainly wouldn't work in the U.S. But I'm just trying to imagine, you know, as much as we rely on the convenience of things. But could you imagine the riots if Congress passed a new law saying you no longer can take a flight if it's under 2 hours?
So I can't fly Milwaukee to Minneapolis. I have to drive Milwaukee
to Minneapolis.
Well,
no, you'd have to take a train. And the reason why this would not work is because our train system past the East Coast is not that comprehensive.
We're not set up for that.
But in France, they just got the go-ahead to start doing this. And so France, earlier this week, the European Commission allowed the country to chug along with its short-haul domestic flight ban. So basically, only air routes with a reliable train alternative that takes less than 2.5 hours will be cut. So basically, if there is a train that can take you from Paris to Lyon or Paris to Marseille, although I don't know if Paris to Marseille is... I mean, France is a much smaller...
Geographically,
a much smaller country than us. So I'm trying to imagine...
What would be more than 2.5?
What is more than 2.5 hour on a flight? But I saw this, and it's... I mean, I like the times that I take trains. They're great. And honestly, a lot of times when you think about the... I've thought about this a lot when I lived in San Francisco or L.A. And there is no train connecting those two, the two major cities in California. They've tried, but there's, you know, the high-speed rail that they've tried to push through just hasn't happened. And sometimes I would argue the drive itself is about, depending how fast you drive on the five and if there's an accident or not, you know, it's like six-ish hours. So
it's a cruise.
It's a drive versus a very short plane ride. But sometimes when you think about getting to the plane in time, and because there were certainly times where that flight would be delayed like 2 hours, and you're like, well, at the time I got to the airport, I waited for my flight, I did the flight, I got off, and then drove to wherever I needed to go in LA, because God knows the traffic there is a mess. You're like, well, how much time did I actually save?
Maybe 20 minutes.
And so, but I'm just trying to think, you know, Americans losing their mind. Like, if you couldn't fly from like Philly to Washington, D.C., or D.C. to New York, or even Boston to New York, and all these kind of like short puddle jumper flights, and this doesn't even include private jets. This is just commercial, short commercial flights. I do not think this would fly, pun intended, in the U.S.
Well, and I'm surprised because the French really don't seem to have too many problems with going on strike.
Oh, no. Right? This is a country that loves to protest.
They kind of like to, you know, can you hear the songs of angry writers? So I'm surprised that they're not really... Is this an environmental consideration?
It is.
Okay.
And so, but I think the criticism is, does this really make enough of a dent to be worth the inconvenience of it? But they're not stopping there. The transport minister, Clément Beaune.
I'm sorry, who?
So the funny thing about this is before Mike, in my last relationship, it was a Frenchman from the south of France, from Aix-en-Provence. And in that relationship, I took multiple at Duolingo. I tried to take multiple French classes. It really didn't stick. So reading this article and trying to pronounce the things was like, Clément Beaune?
Say it really fast.
Clément Beaune.
Parfait.
He also wants to slap taxes and restrictions on private jets to reduce the use of those gas-guzzling transportation devices. And so it'll be interesting. I mean, they're certainly taking a lead on this. And I don't know if it would stick in America. I think there would be a lot of people very upset if they couldn't take their private jets or a 30-minute flight from Milwaukee to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, when we come back, we still have one more segment. We're going to talk to Vicky Pashel, which I have to figure out if that's how to pronounce her name, about the Castle Family Christmas in Wautoma. Stick with us.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place? You know, that spot that only you know about? And instead of what you came for, you found something a little different. What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number? 1-800-662-HELP. What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Reminder that we love hearing from you. If you have a topic that you think we should cover, or an idea for a guest we should have on, or any feedback for us, you can always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And one of the things we're trying to do throughout December is highlight different community programming, shows, holiday concerts that are happening across the state, because it is such a fun time of year to see live shows. And so today we have the executive director at the Macomb Brooks PAC in Wautoma to talk about a show that's happening this Saturday. Welcome, Vicki Pichelle.
Oh, thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
Yes. And so is that Wautoma behind you?
It is not. That's Wapaka.
That's Wapaka.
But
okay.
It's the closest I could find for this. But yeah, that's the Chena Lakes in Wapaka, and that's the chief Wapaka in the background.
There you go. All right. Well, so what can people look forward to this weekend?
Well, on Saturday, December 10th at 7 o'clock, we have the Calisils Family Christmas. And the Calisils are a group that started in the 1960s, and they were a family. And there are like six or seven little kids in the group and their mom. And they were the model for the Partridge Family TV show back in the day.
Oh, wow.
So you have all these little kids and their mom, and they start singing these songs, and they had some hits. And you're probably way too young, Kristen, but honestly, there's Hair from the musical. They did that. They did this really cool song called Indian Lake. Which I remember when I was a little kid, and I can see Jane going, yeah.
I remember this so well.
Yeah. And they have another one that's like one of my favorites, and I didn't know they did this until I went on YouTube and I looked at some of their stuff, but it's called The Rain, The Park, and Other Things. And it's about the flower girl. I love the flower girl, you know, But anyway, you got to go to YouTube because I'm not going to sing it. But they're going to do some of those things, and then also Christmas songs. They've been down in Branson at the Andy Williams Moon River Theater, and they've been there for a month doing Christmas shows. So they're going to pack up, come on up here, and do a Christmas show in Wautoma.
Vicki, for people who don't know, I mean, before there were the Osmonds and before there were the Jackson 5, it was the Cowsills.
There were the Cowsills, yeah. Yeah, and if you go on YouTube and see these pictures, it's like they're all these little kids. Susan is still in the group, and she was like 7 when she joined the group. And so you can see her with her little tambourine, and she's still in the group. I think there are 3 of the original members in the group. But then they've got kids, I believe, and Susan's husband is the drummer. So it's a very much a family affair.
So The original group in the 60s, they were all siblings. And so now three of the siblings are still part of it, but they've included their kids or husbands or wives to be a part of the group. And so how many people perform?
You know, I think maybe five or six.
That's so fun. And so it's a mix of the classics, their classics, and then also Christmas music.
Did the sister? So it'll be fun, and we're going to have an ugly Christmas sweater contest too. So people who are coming are encouraged to wear their ugly Christmas sweater, and we're going to have a prize for the ugliest.
So how do you judge a criteria? What's your criteria for the who gets to decide what is the ugliest Christmas sweater?
Well, maybe. That's a good question, but I'm going to be the judge, so I get to do that.
Send your bribes to Vicky.
Yes, yes.
Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater to wear?
Oh, I do. Oh, I do.
Are you going to spoil it for us, or do you need to have it be a surprise?
Oh, well, I can describe it.
Okay.
It is very, very much vintage. It looks like something Grandma used to wear like 40 years ago. It's got the Santa, it's got the tree, it's got the reindeer, it's got holly berries on it. And I mean, it's got everything going.
It's got a lot. It's loud. It's a loud sweater. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gaudy.
Vicky, what else is coming up at the center, into December and even into next year?
Okay. I'm glad you asked that. We've got, we take a break in January, so we don't come back until February, but Sunday, February 19th at 3 o'clock, we have Roll On, a tribute to Alabama. So it's a group out of Minnesota, and they do all the Alabama hits. So that'll be fun.
So is most of the programming that you guys have at Macomb Brooks, is it mostly concerts, or is it also sometimes plays and musicals?
We do mostly music, but we have had plays and shows like that. They're just a little harder to find for our venue. You know, we don't have an in-house group of people who perform, so it's a little harder for us to find them. But what also makes us as unique is we're connected to the school. So we also do educational things out of the theater. So we have programs for like all the county schools in fall and in spring. So invite them to be part of the performing arts. And then also we have a summer theater, and the Prairie Fire Children's Theater come from Minnesota, and they're in residence for a week, and they help our community kids. And this year we're going to put on Jack and the Beanstalk.
Oh, fun. That's so great.
Yeah. It's so important. Yeah. It's so important to have an arts facility like yours in a community like Wautoma.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's really unique, you know, and it's been there 30 years, and the history is kind of cool behind it, too. It's the donations came from two ladies in Wautoma, and they gave the money to build a theater. Two ladies.
Oh, wow. That's so great. Well, where can people find, if people are interested in any of the future shows or in this Saturday's show, where can they get more information to get tickets?
MacombBrooksPAC.com. Or you can call our box office. It's 920-787-2189. We are there this week from 10 to 2 every day. And then before the show, we get there at 3. We do have tickets available. So if you want to do something Saturday, come on up.
We have our Christmas party, our civic media Christmas party, but otherwise, I might be tempted to have my first Council family Christmas debut and listen to their show, because it sounds like it's a really fun show.
And Wautoma is a great place. I mean, you can come there. We've got two really, really great supper clubs. I know people are into that. So you can go, like, if you were going to come to the Roll-On show, that's a matinee show. So then you can go out to a supper club after that. We have Silvercrest and the Moose Inn. They're both awesome. And you can stay at Borders and, you know, have a nice little time away.
Have a nice little Wautoma night. All right. Well, thank you so much, Vicky, for joining us today. We will link all the information on how you can see the Cowsills Family Christmas in our episode blog at asgoeswisconsin.com. And that'll about do it for us today. We'll come back tomorrow, Friday, TGIF. And we're halfway through, we're almost halfway through December already. That's like crazy. All right. Well, stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian or the Chad Holmes Show. And come back tomorrow when we'll do it all again. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Wouldn't have to go away.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your